Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. Welcome in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that should be a great encouragement to us at this time of uncertainty, time of change, that the one we come to worship, the one we come to hear, is the one who is Lord over all things. And it is a time of uncertainty. It's a time for us to be grieving as well, of missing Bernie today. We just have to recognize that we have a great God. And I just want to welcome you all. Welcome to those who are mothers on this Mothering Sunday. Welcome to any family members who are out of screen but listening in. It's good to just be able to come together and to seek the Lord. We have concerns. We have concerns for Kevin in the loss of his job, Wendy in the concerns she has for her mum's cousin. So there are many things that upset us, but we can come together and seek the Lord. Officially, this is supposed to last for 40 minutes. And if that happens, we will then send you another email link and you'll be able to click back in and we'll have a second part of the meeting. But sometimes Zoom have been extending meetings, so we may just be able to go on through, which will be really good. In that second part of the meeting, we'll just have a time to pray. There'll be a hymn that we can sing and just a time to share. No one's going to force you to say anything if you don't want to, but do just be prepared to join us and stay with us. I'm going to begin by praying, so let's just bow before God as we commit our time to him. The Bible says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." Father God, our world at this time is in turmoil, like most of us have never experienced in our lives. Our minds are racing all over the place, thinking of all the possibilities that might happen to our world and to us in our lives. We confess that our hearts are weak so often. We tremble. And we are prone to fear and to worry. Father, thank you that in a rapidly changing world and in a rapidly changing lives, you are the God who is unchanging. The Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we thank you that you are the God who is good, and that behind everything that is going on, we can trust you to be working out your good purposes for your people, the church, in this world and for eternity. And we pray that we would know something of that peace that we can have in our hearts as we rest in the shadow of the Almighty, as we seek our refuge under your shelter. May we have that assurance in our hearts as we trust in Christ to be at peace with you and have the great hope of a future with you. In our hearts, we pray that you would comfort us as a fellowship in our mourning for Bernie. We pray that you would comfort his family, his neighbor Sue, and all of his friends. Father, we thank you for your wonderful grace to Bernie later in his life when you brought him to know Jesus for himself, to be baptized and to be added to the church. And we thank you that today he has gone to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, his Saviour, for all eternity. We pray that you would comfort us and encourage us to be seeking to reach out to others who need to know Jesus. We pray that you would help us to seek you more earnestly in our lives, and you would forgive us for the times in the past where, in the comfort of our lives, we have not taken you seriously or the fellowship of your people seriously. Forgive us for these things, we pray, and at this time, you would cause us to seek you and to want to know you better. Open our eyes to the truth of your word this morning, we pray, and help us to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ more, and help us to want to know and to encourage each other and to help others to come to know him too. So we pray you'll bless our gathering in this way together this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you want to open your Bibles, we're going to be reading from, if you've got a Bible or maybe online, or however you're going to do it, from Exodus chapter 8 and verses 20 to chapter 9 and verse 12. So I'm just going to read this section We're looking at the plagues that God sent upon Egypt, and maybe we begin to have a little better idea of how it must have felt to have been living in Egypt at that time under the plagues, and to understand the shock, the fear, the uncertainty. I sent out a sheet that just gives you a summary of those plagues, and as we'll see, they seem to be in groups of three that have different emphasis and give us a different message. But we're going to read the second group of three just to give us a flavour of what happens in these plagues. So I'm reading from chapter 8 and verse 20 of Exodus. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Get up early in the morning and confront Pharaoh as he goes to water the water and say to him, 'This is what the Lord says, let my people go so that they may worship me. If you do not let my people go, I will send swarms of flies on you and your officials, on your people and into your houses. The houses of the Egyptians will be full of flies, and even the ground where they are. But on that day I will deal differently with the land of Goshen where my people live. No swarm of flies will be there, so that you will know that I, the Lord, am in this land, and I will make a distinction between my people and your people. The miraculous sign will occur tomorrow.' And the Lord did this. Dense swarms of flies poured into Pharaoh's palace and into the houses of his officials and throughout Egypt, and the land was ruined by flies. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, 'Go, sacrifice to your God here in the land.' But Moses said, 'That will not be right. The sacrifices we offer the Lord our God would be detestable to the Egyptians. And if we offer sacrifices that are detestable in their eyes, will they not stone us? We must make a three-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God as he commands us.' Pharaoh said, 'I will let you go to offer sacrifices to the Lord in the desert, but you must not go very far. Now pray for me.' Moses answered, 'As soon as I leave you, I will pray to the Lord, and tomorrow the flies will leave eat Pharaoh and his officials and his people. Only be sure that Pharaoh does not act deceitfully again by not letting the people go to offer sacrifices to the Lord.' Then Moses left Pharaoh and prayed to the Lord. And the Lord did what Moses asked. The flies left Pharaoh and his officials and the people. Not a fly remained. But this time also, Pharaoh hardened his heart and would not let the people go. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go to Pharaoh and say to him, "This is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says, let my people go so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go and continue to hold them back, the hand of the Lord will bring a terrible plague on your livestock in the field, on your homes, on your house, on your horses and donkeys and camels, and on the cattle and sheep and goats. For the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and that of Egypt, so that no animal belonging to the Israelites will die. The Lord set a time and said, "Tomorrow the Lord will do this in the land." And the next day the Lord did it. All the livestock of the Egyptians died, but not one animal belonging to the Israelites died. Pharaoh sent men to investigate and found that not even one of the animals of the Israelites had died. Yet his heart was unyielding, and he would not let the people go. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Take handfuls of soot from a furnace and have Moses toss them into the air in the presence of Pharaoh. It will become fine dust over the whole of Egypt, and festering boils will break out on men and animals throughout the land." So they took soot from a furnace and stood before Pharaoh. Moses tossed it into the air, and festering boils broke out on men and animals. The magicians could not stand before Moses because the boils that were on them and on all the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said to Moses." This is God's word. Well, about a month ago, perhaps some in the middle of February, I sat down to prepare the good newspaper leaflet that was going to be sent out with the good newspapers to the homes around the church. And I felt a little bit like Moses must have felt when he was writing these chapters of Exodus. I wrote about uncontrollable bushfires that were going on in Australia, about plagues of locusts that were swarming across seven countries in East Africa. I wrote about the floods that were going on in our own country. And I wrote this about a coronavirus in China. I said it might spread. Well, little did I realize the impact that that spread would have upon the whole world, have upon our own country, and have upon our lives as individuals, and have upon how we're able to meet together as church just less than 4 weeks later. In that leaflet I wrote to the people who were reading it around the church, I wrote about the Bible's teaching that disasters that God allows in our world are warnings to our world of the judgment of God that is going to come upon the world because of the world's rejection of him. Even though there's so much evidence of God, people reject him, refuse to listen to him, and God warns people that one day his judgment is coming. But Moses, in writing up the plagues of God upon Egypt, he warns of that, but he also tells us something else about disasters that come upon the world. If you have a look at chapter 7 and verse 17, we see there that Moses tells Pharaoh that by these plagues, by this you will know that I am the Lord. God makes himself known in these things that go on in our world. I suppose that's a challenge to us, isn't it, today? What are we going to make of what's going on in our world? Are we going to make the most of knowing God better? This is an opportunity for us individually, for us together, to know God better, to know what he's really like, and to really trust and believe in him, and to help others to know God better. So as we start this time, however long it's going to go on, as you make your plans about what you're going to do in your life, how are you going to know God better? What are you going to be doing to make sure that when we come out of the end of it, you will be able to say, I know the Lord is God? Well, as we look at these plagues, I said there are three sets of three plagues each, and then a final tenth plague. We see different aspects of the Lord and what he is like. And first of all, in the first set of plagues, in chapter 7, verse 14 to chapter 8, verse 19, we are to know that the Lord has all authority over every unseen and evil power. We are to know that the Lord Jesus Christ has authority over every unseen and evil power in the world that we might fear. There are two things that stand out in these first round of plagues. And the first is that each plague is brought about by Moses and Aaron holding on and using the staff of the Lord. It actually was probably Moses's shepherd's crook, but it had become a symbol of the Lord's authority in their hands. As human beings, God was giving them authority to act as he desired. We see that it's a bit like the queen sometimes holds the royal scepter in her hands, showing her authority to rule. And so we have a picture here of God working by his authority through his servants, Moses and Aaron. So if you look at chapter 7 and verse 17, this is what the Lord says: by this you will know that I am the Lord. With the staff that is in my hand, I will strike the water of the Nile, and it will be changed to blood. And if you look at chapter 8, verse 5, you'll see a similar sort of thing. In chapter 8, verse 16, it speaks about Moses and Aaron having the staff of the Lord, and it is by the Lord's authority that these things happen. We're to be in no doubt that these disasters that come upon Egypt are by the Lord's authority. The Lord is working for good through these things. We shouldn't doubt that, because he says he's doing it so that the world might know that he is Lord, he is God. They might be shaken out of their indifference, they're not wanting to know him, to come to know him personally. And so we should be in no doubt that this is the Lord at work by his authority. The second thing that stands out in this first round of plagues is that how Pharaoh uses his magicians. It's as though Pharaoh is saying to God, "Oh, you've got Moses and Aaron. They've got the staff of your authority, your unseen authority. Well, these magicians are like my authority. They are the authority of the gods of Egypt to work. They have authority in the land because of the gods of Egypt that are powerful." And so Pharaoh is challenging God to say, "You're saying you've got authority, but I've got authority too. And it's unseen, and it's the powerful unseen authority of the gods of Egypt." But when you look at what happens, how foolish and how weak is the authority of these Egyptian magicians? If you were thought you were powerful today, what would you do in the face of the coronavirus? You'd get rid of it, wouldn't you? Well, what do the Egyptian magicians do? They double the trouble. They turn more good water into blood. They cause more frogs to appear on the land of Egypt rather than dealing with the problem, because their power is evil, that they cannot do what is good. And God is showing that he has greater authority than them, and that their authority is worthless. And we see that when it comes to the gnats, the magicians cannot even do what the Lord does. And they have to acknowledge in chapter 8 and verse 19, they say to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God. This is God's authority. We can't stand before it." And we meet the magicians one more time. If you look at chapter 9 and verse 12, it says, this is the plague of plague that comes of boils. It says the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils that were on them. In other words, they were totally defeated. The picture's clear, isn't it? God has authority, and his authority is greater than every authority of unseen authority of Satan's evil powers at work in the world. And he defeats them, and it's pointing us forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15, about Jesus, having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. We may be fearful today of what's going on in our world, the disaster of plague of this virus, but we must know that God has authority over it. However it's come about, whatever evil might have produced it, God has authority over it. He has defeated the powers of Satan. And today, as you look at the cross, what do you see? Think about the cross of Jesus. What do you see there? Pharaoh was supposed to see these disasters, and he was to know that the Lord is God. When you look at the cross, when you look at Jesus dying on the cross, and rising again, what do you see? Is it something that you just simply think, "Oh, it's nothing"? Is it something you can just forget about? Something that can be mocked? Something that can be opposed? Or do you see there what the Lord wants you to see? That he is God, that he conquers the powers of evil, and that in the Lord Jesus Christ, anyone who is trusting in him is secure and safe from those powers. Today, will you just look at the cross? Will you see in what seemed to be a disaster that the Lord was revealing himself and showing his victory over all the powers of evil over our world? And that if you trust in Jesus, you have security. You have a place where you will be kept safe in him. It's dangerous not to learn what God wants you to learn from what he's doing in our world. Pharaoh, in his rejection of these first series of plagues, finds out that it's dangerous because another series of plagues come upon him. And we see in this next series, in chapter 8 and verse 20 to chapter 9 and verse 12, that it's necessary to submit to the Lord because it is the Lord's will alone that will be done in the world. It is the Lord's will alone that will ultimately be done in the world. That's what we're to know about the Lord today. It is his will that will be done. The main thing that we see in this second round of plagues is the distinction that God makes between how these plagues affect the Egyptians and how they affect his own people, the Israelites, who are still living in the land of Egypt. If you look at chapter 8 and verse 22, the Lord says that, but on that day I will deal differently with the land of Goshen, where my people live. No swarms of flies will be there. And then in chapter 9 and verse 4, where he speaks about the plague of livestock, where the livestock will die, he says, it's not going to happen to the people, my people, in their part of the land. And even Pharaoh, he checks it out. He says, yes, the Lord deals differently. He has the power to do things differently in different parts of the land. It is his will that's worked out. If you look at chapter 9 and verse 7, Pharaoh sent men to investigate and found not even one animal of the Israelites had died. And then the third of those plagues, the plague of boils. We're not told specifically that God deals differently with the people, but it seems to be implied in chapter 9 and verse 11, because the Egyptian magicians are still there, but they can no longer stand before the Lord, before Moses. While Moses can stand, they can't stand because they got boils all over their bodies. But Moses is perfectly healthy. And the Lord has dealt differently. What's the point of the distinction? We'll have a look at chapter 8 and verse 22. God tells us, so that you will know that I, the Lord, am in this land. You see, Pharaoh might have thought, well, God may have authority in the unseen areas of the world, but I'm king of Egypt. My word rules. What I say goes. And Pharaoh was trying to prove that by not letting the Israelites go, by making their work more and more difficult. But the Lord is showing that it's not Pharaoh's word that rules in Egypt. It's the Lord's word that ultimately will be done. By making a distinction in what happens to his people, the Israelites, in Pharaoh's lands, the Lord is showing that it is his will that is done, not Pharaoh's. All Pharaoh can do is check it out and find that it's true. When it comes to the Lord, no unseen spiritual power, and not even any human power in this world, will stop the Lord's will from ever being done. No one can stop the Lord making a distinction when judgment comes between his people and those who have not trusted in him. Today, we're following our political leaders. We're doing what they tell us to do, to isolate ourselves from one another, to distance ourselves from one another, to try and keep us safe from this virus. But what are you going to do? Where are you going to hide when the final judgment comes? Are you going to depend upon Boris Johnson to tell you how to keep safe? Or the Chinese president or the president of the United States? Do you think you can hide yourself somewhere when that day comes? Do you think that perhaps death may hide you from that judgment? Well, listen to Acts chapter 10 and verse 42, where Peter is preaching. He says, God commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that Jesus is the one who God has appointed as the judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness for sins through his name. Jesus is king, king of the living and the dead, king of every land in this world. And there's no hiding place when he returns and brings God's judgment upon the world. The only hiding place will be in him, listening to him, trusting in him, knowing that he took the judgment that you deserve in your place when he died upon the cross, and that as you trust in him, he keeps you safe from that judgment when it comes. Will he learn the lesson of the second round of plagues? Will he submit to the Lord, knowing that his will be done and nothing else can stop it? The final third round of plagues that we see in chapter 9 and verse 13 to chapter 10 and verse 29, we see that not only has the Lord got authority over the unseen powers of evil, not only has the Lord got authority everywhere over all human authority and powers, but the Lord has authority over every individual human heart. The distinguishing factor of these three plagues seems to be the increasingly personal way in which the Lord deals with Pharaoh. In the previous cycles, we've been told that Pharaoh's heart was hard. Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Pharaoh hardened his own heart. But we see in this round, beginning with the last plague of the last round, that the Lord personally hardened Pharaoh's heart. You see, Pharaoh didn't only not have authority over the unseen powers, he didn't not have authority over his own land, he didn't even have authority over his own heart. He couldn't change his heart. He didn't want to change his heart. And in the end, the Lord says, enough is enough. He hardens his heart and he will suffer under that last judgment that will come. Today, to have a hard heart means to be living your own way, listening to your own voice, deciding how to live life for yourself, rather than listening to God, obeying his commands, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. As we are born naturally, we are born with hard hearts because of Adam and Eve and their sin. We're descended from them and our hearts resist God and don't know him and don't want to know him. And so we face a terrible problem. As God dealt with Pharaoh's heart, he can deal with our hearts. And we need to be warned that if we're not trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, today as we listen to God's word, if we harden our hearts, if we resist his word, if we don't want to know the Lord Jesus Christ, today may be the last opportunity we have. God may irresistibly harden our hearts because we have been rejecting him again and again. Be warned, even our hearts are in the Lord's hands. Beware lest today you hear his word and you harden your heart and he hardens your heart or two as well. But there is a wonderful alternative. If you have a look at chapter 9 and verse 18, God is wonderfully patient. He keeps on speaking. And we read in chapter 9 and verse 18, therefore, this time tomorrow, I will send the worst hailstorm that's ever fallen on Egypt from the day that it was founded till now. And give an order now to bring your livestock and everything that you have in the field to a place of shelter, because hail will fall on every man and animal that has not been brought in out of the field, and they will die. Those officials of Pharaoh who feared the word of the Lord hurried to bring their slaves and their livestock inside. But those who ignored the word of the Lord left their slaves and livestock in the field. Today, it's not about hailstorms or coronavirus. For us, it's about the coming of God's judgment and how that will be for us personally. Will you be wise today and fear the word of the Lord? Take seriously God's word. Will you know that Jesus is the Lord over all unseen authorities and powers? He is the Lord whose will be done. But he's the Lord who is sovereign over your heart, and he can change your heart if you will recognize that you can't do it yourself and just cry out to him for mercy. Will you do that? Will you recognize your need of the Lord? Will you be like those few of Pharaoh's officials who feared the word of the Lord and took action, and so were kept safe. Today, trust in Jesus and be safe in him because of what he's done on the cross. I'm going to finish there, and I think we need to finish because I think our meeting's about to finish.